The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in a very unrehearsed session of very questions and very answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. Quickly checking his cell phone from ITS is Professor Chuck Hokett.
Hi there.
It's a play with my food.
It's a face for radio. Yeah, the pita is.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
How are you doing, Chuck?
I'm super. Thank you.
Is everything okay?
It's going good.
Okay. I was referring to the little message you may have gotten right there.
Yeah, things are good.
Okay, good.
Things are good. Things are good. Good.
All the DVD players are working across campus. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. That's serious, sir.
To Chuck's left, drinking, I'm guessing it's just plain old ginger ale, am I right? Oh, vanilla cream, what am I thinking?
Vanilla cream is very
good. We have wonderful Town Club Pop being brought in by Dave Chow today. It's Professor Dan Maggio.
And I would like a new seat. I'm fine, it's good.
Otherwise, everything's good,
happy
right?
Summer, or spring. Yes. Spring still.
It's still spring. It's still spring. Getting there, though, right? We're getting there. I like your polo, by the way. I think
Thank
it's the
you.
First time I've ever seen the full first Lego thing going on.
This is
on.
The logo.
FLL.
So it's a new shirt, so I'm breaking it in.
Yeah, that's cool.
Today.
That's cool.
Not just for the show.
Professor Diane Manica is here with us, and you don't have much time left, Diane.
No, I don't, and let's not worry the audience. It sounded awfully final, didn't it? Yeah, I am retiring.
Retiring.
Not dying.
Not dying.
And retiring from the earth.
Yeah, I have about 2.5 weeks left.
Unbelievable.
And I'm using up vacation time right now. Yes.
Wow, that's
so
wonderful.
I just had a leisurely morning this morning. Didn't have to worry about being at work. Went off and exercised.
Wonderful.
You make that sound so virtuous.
Well, actually, you know, it's something I probably should have done 25 years ago, so I'm not sure how virtuous it is.
Got dressed?
Watch it, Dan.
Exercise.
There's a fork in front of you. Be careful. Be careful. By the way, we not only have Town Club, we have other goodies here today.
Yes, we do. I was going to say.
Dan Maggio.
We've got some wonderful Middle Eastern food from Mr. Kebab. Might as well throw a plug in there.
Not a great place for a Middle Eastern.
No longer the only Middle Eastern food at a gas station, but still the best.
It is.
It's And it, as weird as it sounds, it is probably the best I've ever had. I don't know about you, but it's good stuff.
Thanks.
Berkeley, Michigan, at the corner of Coolidge and 12.
I used the Middle Eastern food, and now I feel awful.
Oh!
Oh, gosh.
That's what a wedding does to you.
He didn't make these jokes when he was single.
Oh, yes, I did.
Next to Diane is Professor Jim Tubbs.
Howdy.
I'm not doing any departments today. I don't know why. It's just we're free, kind of. It's summer and, you know, well, not almost summer. And, you know, I didn't say anybody's department,
well,
home department
what,
or anything.
You know what Sartre said? You're free, choose, invent. So you can just invent a department for me.
From the Department of Vertical Stripes.
Again.
It's a prison reference, Jim. It's a prison reference.
Yeah. Wait, I thought they were horizontal. I don't know. How are things, Jim?
So far, so good.
Good. Excellent. Yeah.
It's nice summer weather thus far.
Yeah, it's pretty humid today.
We didn't know when it would ever get here, but now that it has, it's not so bad.
It is here. It is absolutely here. We have Professor Roy Finkenbein with us here today, too.
Hi, Matt. It's good to be here.
Good to be here. I mean, no, that didn't work at all. It's like, enjoy your trip, you too, but I'm just checking your badge.
Well, the alternative is I'm doing revisions on an article that got accepted by a journal, and this is actually my brief foray, paragraph-length foray into quantitative studies.
Got
so
it.
So I'm trying to deal with historical wage trends from the 1840s and 1850s to make sense of something I'm doing in the article.
Okay. I was going to ask you what we were concerning. I think we have enough to go on there.
The article is on, there was actually a reparations campaign. Once Solomon Northup, the protagonist of 12 Years a Slave, was freed, abolitionists petitioned Congress to pay him for his time in slavery, and it went on for about a year, but unfortunately it collapsed. And
look forward to the article. You're allowed to say publication?
New York History.
Okay, New York History. Very cool. We can look for it now. Excellent. We also have a guest panelist with us here today, the Vice President for Academic Affairs and Provost, Professor Pam Zarkowski. It's good to have you here, Pam.
She's clapping for herself.
And who also took a bow.
So now you know what it's all about, Pam.
I guess I do. It's food and fun, a little history lesson, and You know, it's just there are, though. I wonder, looking out the windows, there seems to be some, you know, restrictions of getting out of this room. So I'm wondering if we're kind of locked in here until we're done.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
or does that say something about the inmates? But anyway.
The radio audience is conjuring up all sorts of interesting images.
Yeah. Thank you for the invitation, though. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming. We'd appreciate you not letting the fire marshal know where we record.
Yes. I haven't promised anything. Yes.
We have Professor Dave Chow. He's the bringer of multicolored beverages.
Yes. Ooh. Yes, I am. Pleasure to be here.
Non-alcoholic.
Oh, darn.
They call them soft drinks.
So you say.
Yes. And you're drinking, what's the flavor title?
It is Honolulu Blue Cream Soda.
Oh, okay. Why is that?
Blue cream soda, other natural flavors, whatever that means.
Yeah, I don't.
Unnatural
I don't know
flavors?
I'm not going to worry about it.
Shipped in from Honolulu.
Yeah. It's all good. So.
Living better through chemistry.
Darn
yes.
Nice.
I think we just heard Professor Jason Roach say something as well. He's drinking, is it the City Rush?
It's called City Rush.
Okay.
Town Club.
You feeling the rush?
I got a rush, man. It's really great.
Is it, what is it? Isn't it citrusy or something like that? How would you describe it?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe a tiny, tiny bit of lemon flavor.
That seems like a good time to
transition.
We'll
say Mountain Dew. Looks like that.
There you go. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump our panel, you can win one of our prizes. We have autographed photographs now. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs if you want to at 313-993-1166. Or send the questions old school, USPS, to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. When last we left our panel, we were taking on some questions from longtime listener, Michelle Horner from Las Vegas, Nevada. Pam, you can see we've placed tacks in the wall for all the people who send us questions. It's not too tacky. However,
it's been up there for very long. It will be tacky.
Yeah, it will be tacky sooner or later. But we do have a number of people who still listen to us on the radio and a lot who podcast us as well. So that's kind of cool. We had questions that were all over the map. For instance, this one. What was unique about the World War II fighter plane, the Mosquito? I think I've heard this before from my grandfather, who flew some planes for the Army Air Force.
Was it upside down?
It wasn't upside down, no.
Was that the one that had the propeller on the tail?
No, but you're getting there. There's something very special about it. No.
That was the
long nose.
Did they have a...
Long nose, okay.
It looked like a fly swatter.
Did it have something to do with the engines?
No, it had to do with what the plane was made out of.
Wings.
Plastic?
Plastic?
Nope.
Butterfly wings?
Aluminum.
Nope.
Mosquito wings.
No. That's not too bad. No, the plane was entirely made from wood, is what it says here.
I was going to say granite, but I didn't.
Oh, what's that? Spruce Goose.
Yes, Spruce Goose, only this was the Mosquito for whatever reason.
Spruce Goose was ash, wasn't it?
Okay, something nice and light. So granite, that was Dan's contribution.
Granite. It took a long time to get up in the air.
That's like our cement canoes.
That's right.
Which are a real thing. Yes, everybody knows.
Yes. They are a real thing.
And they do float.
They work.
No mob references here, guys.
So most folks will remember the movie... I believe it starred Jack Nicholson, Cher, and others. The Witches of Eastwick. Does that ring a bell?
Mm-hmm.
It was a book. It was a novel before it was a movie. Written by who? I never saw the movie, but I remember the.
I know it's not J.K. Rowling.
No, it was not.
Was it like Grisham and Irving?
Very, very famous American author. I think
Louisa May Alcott, Little Women, with a new title.
No. It was the follow-up. Initials J.U.?
John Updike.
Yeah, it was Updike. I was about to say rabbit. I think that would have given it away.
Yeah, that would have.
What was the name of the bulldog on the Tom and Jerry cartoons?
Spike.
Spike, yes.
And absolutely. No, wasn't something else at one point early on, too?
It was Butch.
Butch.
But Spike later on because he had the Spike collar. Yes. Who was the first monarch who ruled England and Scotland at the same time?
James the First.
That's not what it says. Neither of those.
Oh.
Pam, we work sort of on the Family Feud version with whatever proper response we have here is what we go with.
Are we talking pre or post Act of Union?
Good question. I'm trying to remember when this monarch ruled, and I have failed to remember.
We've got a historian here. We've got to be careful.
Because
can you repeat the question?
Sure. Who was the first monarch who ruled England and Scotland simultaneously, basically?
Would this be a Holy Roman
Emperor?
It was
not
Emperor?
Butcher Spice.
Would it be a British
Charles
monarch?
The something?
Can it we was just... not a modern era, but not Edward? A Holy Roman Emperor.
Charles?
It was a queen.
Victoria? Elizabeth?
Wasn't there a famous pirate who had this queen as his muse and named his ship after her?
The Queen Anne?
Queen Anne is what it says. Yes, I was thinking Queen Anne's Revenge.
So it was post
That was
union.
Way post
The question, actually, James was king of both
of the countries.
I see,
yeah.
But not the United Kingdom, I believe is what's being referred to here. Okay. Who was the person who played the Adams Family butler?
Lurch. Ted Cassidy.
Ted Cassidy. Ted Cassidy was his
wow.
name. Yes.
How did you know that?
I'm a huge Adams Family buff.
Dave Chow knows a lot about TV.
He was also the voice of the Hulk, too.
Yes, he was. Really? That's right. Mm-hmm.
It was Lurch, though. His name was Lurch.
Yep.
He played the Hulk?
No, he was the growl.
The growl?
Do you remember the Lou Ferrigno, Bill Bixby?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was the growl, the Hulk.
Oh, really?
Oh, the old TV version.
The TV version, right.
He was also the hand. He was also the thing.
That's right.
That was his hand?
It was
he played two roles in the same show.
Uh-huh. Incredible.
Probably got paid.
Small budget.
Yeah. So, having grown up and now currently living in Berkeley, I definitely learned at a very young age the meaning of the word bungalow. Does everybody know what a bungalow is? A sloped roof house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Big time post-World War II in America. What language is it? That's a great question. Bungalow. I've never thought of it before.
German?
It's not German.
Italian?
It's not Italian.
Portuguese?
It's not even European.
Malaysian?
It's not, but you're getting close.
Vietnamese?
Nope.
Taiwanese? Chinese?
It says here that it's a Hindi word.
Hindi.
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah. Bungalow?
Very interesting.
Bungalow. That is very interesting.
Not to be confused with a losing candidate in the Republican primary in California who was arguing that if his Hindu opponent was the nominee and was elected, he would try to impose Sharia law in America.
Oh, my God. Oh, my.
What was the ranch house named after?
That's a good question.
The Ponderosa.
The Colonial?
The Ponderosa.
Salad dressing.
Oh, it's Ponderosan.
No, the Ponderosa had two stories. The farmhouse.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
It had a staircase.
That's my mind is
going to be a hop sing.
Hop sing.
So before it was called Ghana, the country of Ghana was called
the Gold British Coast.
The Gold Coast. Mm. Yes, the Gold Coast instead of the Ivory Coast and many other kinds of coasts. What Shakespearean play is set in Vienna? Good question.
Venice, the Merchant of Venice?
No, it is not. That would be in Venice.
Right, never mind. Ignore that.
Bleep that one out.
In which Shakespearean play are the main people trying to make a plane out of granite? Which Shakespearean play is set in the city of Vienna?
Vienna.
I thought you said Venice. Obviously, my hearing is.
That would have been a good
question. I thought it was a trick question, so I'm like, I got to go with the obvious.
I don't know. As You Like It?
Starts with the letter M. I think it's the only one that starts with the letter
Macbeth?
M.
Macbeth?
Nope. No, so it's definitely not.
And Merchant of Venice, and it's not that either.
It says here that measure for measure.
Measure for measure.
From Vienna.
Sorry, what?
Yeah. Which I've never seen.
Remember, but a hint.
Yeah, that's it.
Really?
Measure for measure.
Did anyone win the Tony that year?
I think so. And Hugh Jackman was great as the host. Whose business operated out of 2222 South Wabash?
Al Capone.
Yes, Al Capone.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Nice.
According to Greek myth, what was the name of the first woman on Earth?
Oh, boy.
I could give it away, but really? I want to let you guys sweat just a little bit. There was a very, very important myth about a container that had lots of things in
Pandora.
It.
Pandora.
Yes, Pandora. And what was left behind was hope. Last but certainly not least, thanks again, Michelle Horner of Las Vegas, Nevada, for these great questions.
And more.
Which planet is sometimes referred to as the horned planet?
Man, it's summer. We're stupider than usual. Goodness.
I blame the colors in the pop.
Neptune?
It says that it's Venus. I think it has to do with the old alchemical symbol for Venus, which had horns on the outside of a globe. So very interesting. Thanks again for those great questions. We have a little update here from long time. We were going to have to take a break first.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Indeed, that's right. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, in fact, the very chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Hey, pleasure to be here, as always.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you here.
George, are you saved?
What makes you think that's any of your business?
You're good.
Now, see?
I'm
telling you how the pros
there
handle
it. It paralyzes all powers of retort.
It does.
Do it,
that's
George.
Right. Bang,
how
that's
how
it.
How to handle bad questions.
What a guy.
That's good.
And that voice you just heard, sitting to George's right, from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Directress, I guess that's the right word,
whoa,
isn't it?
Or,
well, the person who runs the Learning Center.
Top chick.
Top chick.
There we go.
Professor Kathy Bush.
Hello, Edwin.
Hello, Kathy.
Tough chick, too.
Yeah, well.
No, but, you know, there is a story that reminded me of that exchange with Kathy. That Dwight L. Moody was a big revivalist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bible college.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Late 19th century. And he did walk up to a person on the street and asked him if he was saved one time. And the man said, "It's none of your business." And he said, "Oh, yes, it is." And the man said to him, "You must be Dwight L. Moody."
That's good.
Oh, dear.
Super.
That's wonderful.
And we are back with guest panelist, Vice President for Academic Affairs and Provost, Professor Pam Zarkowski. And I'm feeling like the Ask the Professor roadshow is about ready to start after hearing that music. Let's all get in the van. Okay, we have some questions here that were submitted by executive producer Dr. Vivian Dix.
Oh, we're in trouble now.
Oh.
It's probably 90% to pass, right?
92%.
She insists. No, these are in special tribute to Pam because they are about ethics in the law. Because, of course, Pam is a lawyer.
For those and so is know. Vivian.
And so is Vivian.
And the rest of us are unethical, so.
And lawless.
And I'm just going to have a disclaimer here right now. I don't know any of the answers. So, yeah.
That's all right. He keeps giving us clues.
I just teach it. I don't practice it.
The first question, lawyers must report past crimes committed by their clients that they learn through all conversations with the client. The question is, true or false?
False.
It's privileged, right?
Because it's privileged. Yeah, absolutely.
Johnny Cochran. I mean,
cannot divulge information without client's permission. Sort of like FERPA, but FERPA has less murder, I think, attached to it.
Hopefully.
Kind of like on a confession. Right?
Exactly. True or false, the attorney-client privilege keeps a lawyer from producing a weapon that a client asks the lawyer to hold.
Mm-hmm. False.
False.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
it says
material
false.
Evidence.
Yeah. The only thing that matters is conversation.
Yeah.
Communication. Yep. Mm. So here's the knife. Oh.
So do not ask your lawyer to hold the weapon.
To hold your knife. Right. Right. For me, buddy.
Or the bloody gloves.
Or all the money.
Or the glove.
Or the money. Yeah. Or the body.
Yeah. True or false, a lawyer is prohibited from reporting that a client has communicated that he is on his way to murder an estranged spouse. That's really specific.
The lawyer is allowed to report that and required to report that.
Yeah.
It's a crime, right?
It's
a
potential crime.
And there's
committed.
No relationship, right?
Yeah, that's not privileged information.
Oh, it wasn't her. Okay.
That's an imminent threat.
Well, it's going to occur in the future, so it doesn't have to do with the case at hand.
You know, the bottom line is that Vivian has here, false most of the time. Not all states, however, require the attorney to report the imminent crime.
Wow.
If death
right.
or great bodily harm is imminent, the attorney can protect the intended victim by reporting an imminent crime, but the law is not the same in every state.
So what does Michigan say about
that? Yeah, that is a good question.
Doctors and nurses and social workers have to.
Yes, but lawyers, totally different.
Are we compelled to do that as just citizens?
Well, we're not lawyers.
I think ministers are,
too. If I find out that a crime might occur, am I obligated to report it?
I feel a viewing of Tom Cruise.
Probably not. Yeah.
But I thought we were all unethical.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, thank
no,
for
No, Gabe said that.
What's the line from Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah. It's not really a law. More like a guideline.
True or false? A person convicted of murder as a juvenile may be eligible to receive a license to practice law later in life.
Wow.
because they don't carry on to adult records.
That is exactly
records.
Right.
Yep. Some states, for the record. Not all states, right. But some states right. allow that to happen. And last but not least, true or false, President Bill Clinton was disbarred by the state of Arkansas for perjury.
I think that's true.
Yes. Yeah. A deposition in a civil suit in front of a grand jury, he actually was accused and convicted of perjury.
So. That's why he's making millions giving money. Talks yes, right. instead.
Yes, exactly. I don't know if you guys don't have a show of hands because it's not going to show up very well when people listen to it online, but has anybody ever read the Wikipedia entry for the University of Detroit Mercy?
No.
Okay. No. This should be interesting. I'm going to describe the people listed under notable faculty of the university and see if you can guess who it is.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's you guys.
Law instructor, Michigan jurist, mayor of Detroit, governor of Michigan.
Frank Murphy?
Yes, absolutely. And the last governor general of the Philippines was one of his last jobs. Wow. Pretty big deal. Frank Murphy, absolutely. Well done.
Oh.
Taught at U of D, publishing her first novel with Shuddering Fall when she was only 26.
Joyce Carol Oates.
Joyce Carol Oates, absolutely. Her novel, Them, received the National Book Award in 1970, and she's taught at Princeton since 1978.
Why would she go there when she could be here?
I cannot answer that question.
Where's she at?
Princeton? Have you ever heard of that?
No. Small-time school.
She's missing a good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
She could be on the show.
Sour House's film.
We should call her back.
Yeah,
give her a call.
Standing invitation.
Visiting professor in the School of Architecture at the University of Detroit in 1970.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
It's not Frank Lloyd Wright.
Was it Buckminster Fuller?
It was Fuller, yeah, exactly. Wow. Really. There is a wonderful, Bucky. For the record, because it's linked, YouTube video of a lecture in one of the lecture rooms over there that's still on YouTube.
Yeah. Wow.
Buckminster.
Professor of Architecture and Urban Planning from 1965 to 1969. He was the author of the Pontiac Plan, a 1966 to 79 urban renewal project in Pontiac, Michigan. Circa 1970, this person became stadium chief project designer of what would later become known as the Silver Dome.
Well, we're not very proud right now, yes. Sure.
Was it Rossetti?
Nope. In 1972, he started a weekly newspaper called the Pontiac Times to help further his vision for the city.
Mm.
No ideas, huh? You
nope.
got the other three pretty good.
It's not Bruno Leon. We know
nope.
that.
Who says here Silver Dome? C. Don Davidson is what it says.
Okay.
Agreed.
So how's the alumni office going to feel about the fact that we couldn't come up with that?
I don't know.
I got plausible deniability. Yeah. So.
Yeah. We don't even know if that's true.
We have no idea.
It's on Wikipedia.
Oh, no, it's on Dr. Wikipedia.
Yeah.
there's a Dr. Wikipedia.
This is a good transition, Dan, and I thank you for it, because the reason that these became questions is because there were two other notable faculty listed on the list that I think don't fit the descriptions of the other four very famous people we heard. The next person on the list was myself, Matt Mayo, with no other details given. And I did not put it there, but someone did. But the next person on the list was the Witch King of Angmar, who is one of the big bads from the Lord of the Rings books. So not
Wikipedia
only not a professor,
always gets it right.
Not a real person, and notable faculty.
Be a big donor, don't.
The new
we'll
chemistry
share his
lab.
Name with the advancement yeah. office.
That it's been fixed. Since it's been fixed.
Oh, I thought the first day of class in the fall, you'd instruct your students that. You were one of the six outstanding alumni.
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. Absolutely not. I'm on par with the Witch King.
Well, we won't name names, but there was a former faculty member here that would begin his classes each semester by telling the students how lucky they were to have someone of his stature teaching them as freshmen. Because at a larger university, they would not be able to encounter someone of his stature.
I'm sure the freshmen fully understood.
Who was that?
Do we know who this is?
Oh, I know who it is.
Some other time.
No comment.
Really?
Yeah.
Another handful of questions directed at Pam, but don't worry, Pam, it's not
no pressure on you whatsoever.
Fair.
It has to do with dentistry and the law, so that works.
Dentistry
very
and the law?
Yeah, well, forensic dentistry.
This should be good.
Oh, I know nothing about forensic dentistry. Just brush and floss. That's all we want. Brush and floss. We'll all be happy in this room.
How hygienic.
UCSI people have found a body, and it has 32 teeth, incisors that have a straight back, and notches in some of the teeth. What conclusions can you draw? According to this question, you can draw three fairly general conclusions.
The person was a vampire.
A dog fight.
The person had braces at one point.
As a child.
There's no vampire.
They did not have their wisdom teeth removed?
No.
They gnaw on wood?
Canine.
They suck but lemons?
I tell you what, I'm giving Dan that one because according to this, the notches tell you they may have been someone who bites down on metal, like a dressmaker or a tailor, as they bite a needle when they're holding the thread. Okay. Huh. So that's kind of interesting because metal does have the ability.
Well, the 32 teeth, that's a full mouth. So including wisdom teeth. So they must be an adult.
An adult. That is the first thing. Okay. Absolutely.
They should brush and floss regularly.
Great what does the straight-backed incisors tell you?
Those are the incisors. Our audience couldn't see that.
Which means
their jaw is
they can afford braces.
It has to do with genetics.
Oh,
that they must be of what general heritage?
Oh, what a good time!
They make you wait a whole month to find out what the answer to that question is.
You gotta just give us.
Professors, it means they're of Anglo-Saxon heritage because that's genetic.
So you'll never find my bite marks on you.
See what you find out here.
Unbelievable.
Amazing.
Pam, this is the time where I'm going to start with Jason and ask each of the professors to say goodbye. Jason?
Keep a stiff upper lip, everyone.
Dave?
See ya.
Pam?
This has been a lifelong dream. Thank you.
Roy?
I'd like to thank all the little people.
Jim?
Keep those incisors straight.
Diane?
All I'm after is world peace.
Dan?
I'm adding my name to Wikipedia.
And Chuck? Yeah.
Have a good one.
Thanks, everybody. Now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor. It's an Ask the Professor flashback, 1968.
I'm the man with all of the questions and most of the answers, Bill Raby. On my right is History Professor Frederick H. Hayes.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Fred. Normally on my left is Russell McLaughlin, but he's in Spain looking after some stock that the University of Detroit owns. And this leaves our guest middleman, Lawrence Kanjar, who is Dean of the College of Engineering.
All along.
No, what you're doing is replacing three people. The questions you had on the program are submitted by listeners. If you stump the experts, you will receive a subscription to a national magazine, The Atlantic, Harper's, or American. We have some amplification here. First of all, from Hanaban, Louisiana, Mrs. Elizabeth R. Beale. I heard a program last Saturday morning on WWL Radio that I understand was taped by the University of Detroit. You understand correctly. The question asked was, who named the flag Old Glory? Well, I know that William Driver called the flag Old Glory. William Driver was the master of the brig Charles Daggett. He raised the flag on his ship August the 10th, 1831, saying, I name thee Old Glory. You heard that story before, friend?
No, I haven't.
Well, it must be true. If
the interesting question now is, how does everybody else find out? How does something like this come into general usage?
All the members of his crew blabbed as soon as they hit ashore, you know?
Yes, you heard the old man did. What a dumb thing.
Good PR man on the ship.
Yeah.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Thank you.